book of James. The book of James. We're going to look this evening at verses 2 through 4 of chapter 1, a message entitled Testing Toward Maturity. Testing Toward Maturity. When you find your place in the book of James, chapter 1, will you stand with me out of respect for the reading of the Word of God? James chapter 1, we'll read verses 2 through 4. The Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you've allowed us to come to this time of the preaching of your word. I pray, Lord, that you will empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. Lord, may you speak through me. May it be your words and not my own. Lord, I pray that as we dive into your word, that your spirit will dive into our hearts and, Lord, and move in a mighty way. Lord, may you allow us to be encouraged. May you allow us, Lord, even in the midst of trials, to realize the joy that you have available to us this evening. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry. It's like I'm looking at Eric. I'm like, why isn't he sitting down? I'm like, all right. I'm like, I need to tell him to. He's being obedient. Look at that. Good job. first time for everything. That might at least be the second time. We'll at least give you that. All right. No one, when it comes down to it, loves to be tested. Okay? As I mentioned before, the students are taking their achievement testing. And apparently this year, they've always taken this kind of test, and now they're taking this kind of test. And I don't know the names of these. One was like a Stanford test or an Iowa test or, you know, who knows, like whatever kind of test it is. I don't know, but apparently this one's longer. And the students are so excited. Okay, they're so excited. They haven't complained once all week. It's not like I haven't walked down the hallway and just listened to the complaints. Why is this so long? Why is it going till Thursday this year? Never heard it the entire time, right? Right, students? Yeah. But testing's not fun. Testing's hard. I never liked the testing when I was in school. And let's be honest, in our life, and especially when we don't look at testing the right way, it's really easy to have a bad attitude. And it's really easy to not like it. But when we look at testing the right way, God's way, we can't just survive the testing. We can thrive through it and we can grow. We can grow and towards maturity. And so when we look at testing in Scripture, the trials that God allows us to go through, the testing that God puts us through, He's putting us through those to mature us. And so let's go ahead and look at not what I say about testing. Let's look at what God says about testing. So let's look at number one. We're going to get right into it. Let's look at the truth of testing. The truth of testing. James chapter 1, verse number 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation." Whew. When you really think about it, that's a hard verse. Because I'll be honest, when you're going through a trial, when you're going through a test, listen, John shared the praise, but at the same time, when he got the result of the aggressive cancer, that's a hard time to have joy. The word temptation in this verse, in verse number 2, it means to test. It means testing. And church, let me tell you something. If you're a Christian tonight, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, listen, you will be tested. You will be tested. Listen, the students coming to school, the seniors coming and being in my class, when they come into my classroom, that is a signature on the dotted line saying, I'm taking the test that you give me this year. Again, my seniors weren't too happy about it when I told them at the beginning of the year that they were going to have to memorize the entirety of Genesis 1:1 through 3:24. 80 verses, and have to say them all at once by the end of the year. Pray for them. That's coming up. They're doing it, but they weren't too excited about it. And to be honest, I don't actually know if they're still too excited about it. But Christians will be tested. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, it says what? Ye shall have tribulation. Ye shall have tribulations. Christians, you will be tested. And listen, you're going to be tested more than once. You're going to be tested more than once. Now, the students would like that if they came to school and only had to ever be tested once. Maybe. I remember when I was in college, my freshman year of college, I had a class called History of Civilization, and the teacher there, he tormented us. We had a quiz every single day. Period. There was not a day when we did not have a quiz. So every single day you go into that class, you knew there was a quiz coming. I had Baptist history and distinctives. Same thing. It was my senior year. Every single time I went into that class, you know what I was going to expect? There was a quiz. And every single day, without fail, there was a quiz. I was tested over my knowledge.
Did you pass?
Yes. Yes. 3.47. And be honest, it was only low because I was really not a great student my freshman year. kids, apply yourself the entire time you're in school. All right? But you're going to be tested more than once. And so once you come out of one test, you can't just be, yes, I passed. No, there's probably another one coming. Whew, seems heavy, doesn't it? And listen, in those classes, and students, you can probably say, you don't have the same test. You don't have the same quiz every time. The students would probably really like that. After the second or third time you have the quiz, you just know the answers. You just breeze through it, right? No, you get different tests. Testing you over different things that stretches you. It challenges you. And sometimes, man, sometimes it hurts. James 1:2 again, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The word diverse, it means of various sorts. Various sorts. Listen, before I got married, it's not now, but before I got married, I went to the gym 3 times a week, and every single time I was at the gym, I would be there for at least three and a half, even 4 hours. Okay? I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm trying to get back into it, trying to make plans, trying to change things around to get back into it, and we'll be paying for the full year's, membership soon, and I'm going to try to get back into it, but it's hard. It's just hard. We have 4 kids. But at the same time, here's the thing. Going and working out, I couldn't just work out one area. If I did, listen, work out one area, that area gets really easy, and that's great, but I'm lacking in other areas. I've got to lift weight. I've got to work out all the areas if I'm going to actually be completely fit. You ever see the video of the guy who just works out his arms the entire time, or just works out his arms and chest, and then they skip leg day, so they look great up here, and then they're chickens down on their legs. Okay, I don't want that. But listen, God doesn't want us as Christians strong in one area, but weak in every other area. He wants us complete. He wants us, as the Bible says, perfect. Wanting, listen, wanting nothing. That's speaking of character. 1 Peter 1:6, wherein greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through what? Manifold temptation. The same word used there is the same used word for diverse in James 1:2. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tested in more than one way. And listen, the testing is necessary. Sorry, students. You might want to say, why don't we just not have any more tests? No, the testing is necessary in school and in life. Let's go ahead and read the first three verses. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That word worketh means, it means to bring about, to form. Trials are like training challenges for an athlete. They build physical endurance and stamina through them. The athlete looks forward to the physical and mental challenges because they know that they will have the benefits of them that follow. And listen, it's easy for athletes to go into the weight room or go to the track and run and do all these things because they can see, they know that there's going to be a time where they're going to participate in this specific event. Sometimes as Christians, though, let's be honest, we don't know the future. So when this trial, when this testing comes, when this event, when this situation that God allows into our life to test us, to make us into more of his image, it's hard to go through it. Why? Because we don't see the event coming where we then need that endurance. We need that strength. I can look back over my life. Listen, if God would have brought me, I graduated in 2010 from Crown College, okay, 3.47 GPA, yay, great GPA. Listen, if God would have brought me here straight out of college, I would have fallen off on my face and I would have quit. I'm telling you now, I would not make it here. If I came here straight out of college, I can look back and see who I was, what I was capable of, and be honest, I was not ready. There were different things in different ministries. I served in Knoxville, Tennessee as a deacon and did other things there at the church. And then I moved back to Erie, Pennsylvania and helped with the college ministry, helped with the youth ministry and led that ministry for a little bit and helped run, you know, a 10K or a 15K and a 5K race there. And looking back now, I can see where I was at college and different steps that God brought me through, different tests that God brought me through to prepare me for being here. Amen. To prepare me for where I am. The tests are necessary. And lastly, with the truth of testing, listen, the test will be hard. The test will be hard. Listen, it's not really a test if it's just easy. You like those tests that are easy, right? I always like when, you know, every single day there was a quiz in History of Civilization, but the History of Civ teacher, every once in a while, his quiz would be, did you read? And it was, if you said yes, you got 100. No was a 0. I was always smart. The day before, I would always just ask him, is tomorrow going to be a did you read quiz? And he would actually tell me yes or no. And so every single time I asked him, is tomorrow going to be a did you read quiz? And if he'd tell me yes, I read it. If he'd tell me no, the next day I would come in, I would just talk to everyone else and see what they thought was important. I'd you know, get my old information that way. Don't do that. I don't remember anything about history of civilization, okay? But listen, those tests, they were easy. Can I tell you something? Are of zero benefit to me today. The tests in my life that were easy are of absolutely zero benefit to me today. It's the tests that God has allowed me to go through that were hard that I can look back and say, those are the beneficial times in my life. The testing will be hard. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the," what? "Fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." I think we would all be very much okay if the fiery trials were the strange thing. The fiery trials, those are the exception. Those aren't the norm. What it's saying here is, like, don't be surprised when the hard trials come as though it's not normal. That's what it's saying. No, the fiery trials are going, listen, the fiery trials are the normal. Because listen, gold can't be molded and it can't be refined if it's not melted first. And listen, it takes, you have to get pretty, 1,948 degrees Fahrenheit has nothing to do with this message, but that's hot. And that's what God's comparing it to right here. The trials that God's going to allow in our lives are hard. They're difficult. Listen, they might just break you down. But there's a reason for it. There's a purpose for it. And so we're going to get to there at the end. But we're going to look at and continue with what James wrote. So we see first the truth of testing. Let's see now the temperament of testing. This is one of the hard parts. The temperament of testing. James 1, 2 through 3 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Listen, can I be honest? I think the auditorium looks great. But lately, I don't know, like, we've made a joke about this, you know, like, we're going to change our name to Renovation Church. Why? Because we've had a lot of renovations lately. And it just seems like we're renovation after renovation after renovation after renovation. And I told Pastor, you're kind of joking, like, it's trial after trial after trial. But at the same time, I'm looking around and seeing the end result of these trials. And listen, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Listen, when we're going through the trials, and again, the way that James phrases it, the way that God has James phrase it, it's not that it's just one trial at a time, but trial, 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 trial. You're surrounded. You're surrounded by trials. That's literally the idea of the language behind in the Greek that he's talking about. You're surrounded. You're being beaten by on every side by trials. That's a great picture, right? And let's be honest, the pounding of these trials, if we allow it, if we look at them in our own way, and we walk by faith, walk by sight in these trials and not by faith, listen, the pounding of these trials can lead to pessimism. It can lead to complaining, to murmuring. It can lead to anger. It can lead to bitterness. And sooner or later, in these trials, in the midst of these trials, we realize that we're deep in sin because we haven't responded correctly. We haven't looked at these trials correctly. We have to look at these trials correctly if we're going to respond correctly. Again, look what it says. Beginning with verse number 2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations." Verse number 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God is trying. Listen, when you have a trial in your life, when you have a tribulation in your life, when you have something hard in your life, it is because, as a believer, God is trying to grow you to be able to be a blessing, to be able to be a help, to be able to serve Him better. Listen, 100%, I have no doubt in my mind. Being here, I was not here when Pastor had cancer, but Pastor would not be the pastor he is today if he did not have cancer. And praise the Lord 1,000 times that God brought him through it. But Pastor would not be the leader, the man of God he is today without the cancer. God formed him. When we understand the purpose of the trials, that we have a sovereign God who is moving things, who is guiding us in these things. When we understand that he is trying to help us, okay, and he is, then we can realize that the purpose of trials can help us help us have praise in our hearts, have joy in our hearts, knowing that God is using us just to grow us, to form us, to make us better, to be a better blessing for other people, and to bless us. Bible says, it says, count it all joy. The word count there means to deem, to consider, to judge it a joy. Listen, it's hard to do that, but we're supposed to judge it a joy to be in a trial. Whew. Not just some trials, not just part of a trial, but in every single little aspect of the trial. We are supposed to say, that is a joy. I'm not here telling you that it's easy, okay? But it is for Him. And it is with Him. First Peter 1, 6 through 7 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Again, outside of who God is and serving Him, this doesn't make sense, but with knowing who God is and serving Him, it does make sense. It says, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, and we're going to read verse 12 and 13 this time. It says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye, what, are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, that ye may be glad with exceeding joy. Listen, I want to go through trials in a way that when I stand before Jesus Christ and see His glory, that I get to be even more glad. See, I don't believe that when we get to heaven, that we will forget anything that happened on earth. I remember being taught one time by someone that when we get to heaven, we will forget all sin, we will forget all hard times, and we won't remember any of those things. No, I believe that to be totally false. What I do believe is that the fact that what man means for evil, God means for good, will become so clear that even the lowest part of our life will absolutely give infinite glory to God, and we will just kneel down before Him, giving Him all praise, all honor, and all glory, even for the lowest part in our life. Because we will see, wow, you did that. Wow, you mean that? That was for, wow, praise your holy name. Listen, think of who's speaking here. I think it's Peter writing these words. Peter's not someone who hasn't gone through trials. Peter is someone who hadn't yet gone through suffering. Okay, he's gone through it. He's gone through it. Acts 5:41, it says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his shame." What happened? They were beat up. They were assaulted. How many of you, if you get punched and punched and beat and kicked, and are you going to leave that building where you just had that happen to you, rejoicing about it, being glad about it? It happened to them. Why? Because they saw that it was for Jesus. It was from Jesus. Ooh, that's hard, right? And they were able to rejoice. Listen, if we can understand this next verse that I'm going to show you, then and really live this verse, then it's going to be easy to live through trials. Okay? Let's look at it. Romans, you probably know it, 8:28. And we know that some things work to, oh, no, most things, right? No, all. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things, the trial, the tribulation, the suffering, the pain, the hurt, the crying, all of it. Every trial, every tribulation, every testing, God works together for your good. Your good, his glory. And listen, that's why the temperament that we need in testing is the joy of God, the joy of the Lord. I love this. The joy of the Lord gives me strength. The joy of the Lord gives me strength, or however it goes, right? I don't know. That's why I don't usually sing during my messages, okay? But we can have the joy of the Lord. We can have the joy of the Lord in the midst of trials. And now listen, number three, I want to talk about the trail of testing. The trail of testing. James 1:3-4 says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith," again, "worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Listen, it's not an immediate thing. You're not going to become mature in your faith overnight. You're not going to become that perfect, thoroughly furnished man right away. It takes time. It's a journey that God is bringing us through. And it's in God's time that he brings us through it. So where is this testing taking us? Well, letter A says the trail of testing takes us where we need to go. Not where we a lot of times want to go, right? But where we need to go. The trail is run. We run the trail on endurance. Christian, we need to endure. We need to endure. And let me just say, if Jesus Christ can come to this earth and be hung on the cross and endure the cross for us, we can endure a trial for him. We can endure 100 trials. We can endure 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000 trials for him. Why? Because he forgave us. Listen, it is because of him, that I have a home in heaven. It is because of him that my sins are forgiven. So it doesn't matter how much he has to take me through. Listen, it's worth it. Why? Because it's him. It's him. And I must endure. And listen, here's the great thing. I don't have to endure in my own strength. I can endure in his strength. I can rest in him because his yoke is easy and his burden's light. Endurance means that one does not quit, give up, or lie down in the midst of difficulty. Endurance is a distinguishing trait for success in life. So a distinguishing trait for success in your spiritual life as well. Endurance here is making a long string of God-centered good choices that create excellent results, as opposed to making a string of self-centered choices, which will lead to poor outcomes. You want to know why everything's always not going well? Well, maybe it's because you're making poor choices. Examine your life. Look at the choices you make. Are they obedient? Are they God-centered? Or are they disobedient and self-centered? If you're making a lot of decisions that are disobedient and self-centered, then a lot of the pain, a lot of the sorrow, listen, God is sending you probably to say, hey, listen, hey, I have your attention. Stop it. Stop it. But the trail is run on endurance. The trail leads, listen, to a hope that breeds integrity. The trail leads to a hope that breeds integrity. These expressions in their present application in the verses that we're studying are by some thought to be borrowed from the Grecian games. The man was perfect who in any of the athletic exercises had gotten the victory. He was entire, having everything complete, who had won the victory in the pentathlon in each of the five exercises. So in other words, someone who was well-rounded takes endurance. Romans 5, 3 through 4, it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And listen, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And listen, we can know. You think about, man, how, like, I want that. But when that trial comes, when that tribulation comes, all that comes to my mind is, how? I don't know how to have the victory. I don't know how to have success. I don't know how to have this joy. How? Well, the answer is in the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What? That the man of God might be what? What's that word again? Perfect. Complete. Truly furnished unto all good works. Listen. Again, it's still going to take time. James 1:3 says, it works patience. It worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Listen, you don't build endurance in a moment, and maturity doesn't come that way either. I have a 1-year-old who looks like a 4-year-old. And there are times when we're sitting at the kitchen table or we're sitting in the living room and the kids are playing, and she'll do something, and she'll have a toy and then and just push over one of her brothers because she's bigger than Kobe almost. But like she'll push or she'll hit or she'll do those things, and my reaction is almost that of sometimes I want to have the reaction that I do with Charlie, which is kind of try to explain to him and talk to him, and I'm starting to do that, and then I realize I'm doing that with a 1-year-old. Listen, it doesn't matter how big she is; she's huge. I mean, I think like by the time she's out of Awana tonight, she's going to be up to here. But it doesn't matter how big she is; she's still one. She's had less than 2 years of experience of life. She's going to have some struggles. She's going to need some guidance. And some of you, listen, you've not been a Christian for forever. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. You haven't been a Christian for forever. And so there's areas where you lack and where you need help and where you need to mature. And what we need to do, and I'm going to ask you to do tonight, is ask God to get you ready and help you through the process of that maturity. Because it's a process. It's a process. Maturity does not happen overnight. The Christian will not mature by one trial. God's going to send you trial and trial and trial. But listen, can I just tell you very quickly, and we're going to be done. This is it. And by this is it, I have like three more passages I'm going to read. Okay? All right. But the trials will be worth it. The trials will be worth it. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is what? But for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we should look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, they're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal." Chapter 12, verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure," Paul speaking here, "through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." He got a trial. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." He prayed and asked God to remove it again and again and again. "And he said unto me," speaking of God, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore," what does he say? "I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And listen, Paul gets to the end of his life. He's gone through the trials, and it's at the end of his life, he's still going through a trial. But look at what he's able to say. Coming to the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." What does he say? Verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have" what? "Kept the faith." He had endurance. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing." Church, when we see Jesus, it will be worth everything we go through. When we see Jesus, the sufferings that we go through that have hurt us and that have brought us down and been heavy and heavy and heavy will seem but a light thing. And then for us, we will see the truth of Romans 8:18. "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." What a future to look forward to. But listen, that future, how many of you are breathing tonight? That future's not yet. That future's not yet. So you're still in your race. You still probably have trials to go through. And by what the Bible says, you still have trials to go through. You still have testing. You still have tribulation. Ask God to guide you. Ask God, allow him to give you that joy that passes all understanding, that peace that passes all understanding. Let him help you. Heavenly Father, Lord,